open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 3 as we just open in prayer. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your love and your mercy and your grace. Father, we look to you and to you alone in this hour. We thank you, Father. We have your word that will lead us and guide us into all truth. We have Jesus. We have your Holy Spirit. Father, we praise you this morning. We give you glory and honor as we come around your word, as we study this word, and as we consider Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The message this morning is entitled, Consider Jesus. Read with me from Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. And I want to read firstly from the King James Bible, and then I want to read from the New Living Translation. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. A couple of points there I want to make in relation to this verse. We're the holy brethren. We're the brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are partakers of the heavenly calling. And that means that we're the saints of God. You know, we are kings and priests in his kingdom. He says we are to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, the New Living Translation says it like this. And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partakers with those called to heaven, think carefully about this Jesus whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. Think carefully about this Jesus. If there was ever a time in this world to be thinking carefully about Jesus, it's now. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. We need to consider him. That considering that apostle, you know, that word means to observe carefully, to behold, to discover, or to perceive. So question, what are you considering this morning? What have you been considering last night? What has your focus been on in the last month, given the world events that are occurring? Unprecedented world events. What have you been considering? Because what you think about is what will develop. What you think about is what you will speak. And what you will speak will come to pass in your life. And we understand those principles of faith in God. So considering Jesus this hour is so important. So important. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll take this a little bit further. Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to read from verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3. King James Bible. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. In other words, he's a developer and he's a perfecter of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now let's have a look at that from the New Living Translation. And I'll read from verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. This, of all the hostilities, think of all the hostilities he endured from sinful people. then you won't become weary and give up. Now, that's really an important thing we want to consider. If we aren't focusing or considering on the right things, we're going to become weary. That word weary means to be sick. See, worry will make you sick. We're not to worry. We're not to be weary, and we're not to faint or to relax our minds. So the moment we start relaxing our minds and allowing our defenses to come down, we're a target of the enemy. So listening to the world's voice will tire us physically and mentally. Now the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3, if you'd just like to turn there, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, excuse me, that you may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if we look at the world, if we focus on what's happening in the world alone, then we're going to struggle. We're not to be conformed or be like the world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that means to change the way you think. Change the way you think. The world voice at the moment, the narrative of the world at the moment, is all about the impact of COVID-19. That's what the world's thinking. The world's in fear. The world's not putting their faith in God because they have no connection with Him. They're not in relationship with Him. They're not part of the household of faith. They haven't been called with a heavenly calling, but we have. We have. We don't need to think like the world thinks. We don't need to act or behave like it behaves or respond the way it responds. Our faith is in Jesus. We consider Him and Him alone. He's the one that endured the cross, that despised the shame because of us, for the joy that was set before Him. We consider Jesus. We consider the Redeemer, our Redeemer Jesus. We consider the Jesus who's seated at the right hand of the throne of God on high, ever making intercession for us. That's who we consider. We consider Jesus the man that walked upon the earth, that did the mighty will of God everywhere He went, healing and redeeming and delivering and setting people free, because that was the Father's will. That's who we consider. We consider Jesus who will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We consider Jesus the high priest of our confession. He's the one that's taking those words of faith and bringing them before the throne of grace. We consider Jesus who said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Go into all the world. Proclaim the good news. Tell people that it's okay, that they can come back to God. Everything's good. The price has been paid. Now, I want you to understand something as we continue with this. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all at Calvary's cross. There was nothing that was left undone. It's finished. What He did at Calvary's cross is finished. He redeemed us from spiritual death, sickness and disease, poverty and lack. That's why we consider Jesus. And that word in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, looking unto Jesus. That means to consider attentively. Look to Jesus and to Jesus alone. Don't be looking to the right or to the left. Don't be seeking answers or solutions outside of the Word of God. The Word of God is what will keep us. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and the end. He's the perfecter of the faith that he's deposited in our hearts the day we said yes to him, when our hearts were transformed and renewed through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the one we consider. Remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. We're not being moved by the circumstances around us. Our trust is in God and in God alone. In God and in God alone. Now that focus only comes when we spend time in the Word of God and in His presence. Because the Spirit of God will speak to us. He will show us things. He will guide us in this hour. He will direct us and lead us, because that's what He came to do. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He's our advocate. He's our standby. He's our comforter. He's here with us right now, leading and guiding us. We have nothing to fear in this world. We haven't been given the spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And we give God the glory for that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your powerful word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us and leading us into all truth. I want to read firstly from the King James Bible. Isaiah chapter 41, my apologies, 41. And verse 10, Isaiah 41 and verse 10. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." God is upholding us in this hour. He will not leave us. Now, the New Living Translation reads it this way. It reads it this way. Hallelujah. "Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Now, firstly, we have a commandment to fear not. Now, fear is not okay. It's devilish. And if it's tolerated, it will contaminate your faith. Now, we need to really be conscious of the plans and purposes and schemes of the enemy. He wants to steal the word out of our hearts. He wants to take the word, the faith word that's deposited in our spirit, and remove it. So then he can lie. He can replace it with lies and deceptions. He's a deceiver. He's an enemy. And he's the spirit of the world, which is the spirit of fear. He's the god of this world system. And we're not to bow to that. We're not to be drawn into his schemes. We are protected in the secret place. We're in that secret place. And we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So he says we're to fear not. And the reason why he says that is because he's with us. He's with us. You know, when Moses was called to go to Pharaoh to deliver his people from bondages of Egypt, God reassured Moses, "I'll be with you. It's okay, I'm sending you, but it's okay, I'm with you. Don't think that you're going to achieve this in your own effort. You're going to achieve this because I'm going to be with you. So go." Now, you know, we have to see God the same way. He called us to go into all the world to share this good news. But he's with us. He never said, "Go on your own." He never said, "Listen, when you're finished, I'll wind this thing up. Let me know how you go." No. He's with us. And he's with us through that third person of the Godhead, and that's the Holy Spirit. So The reason why we fear not is because I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. God is on our side. We serve the one true living God. Jesus is Lord of all. And we're not to be dismayed. Now, to be dismayed is to gaze at or about, to look in dismay, to inspect, to consider, or to be bewildered. To be dismayed is to be discouraged. But he says, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And then he says, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Well, the right hand of the righteousness of God is Jesus. Jesus. That's why we consider him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and gaze on him alone, your Redeemer. Now, he said he'll help us. Well, you know, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 also provides us that reassurance. And I want to read that. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Well, this is a time of need. We can go to God. We can go to God with confident assurance, which is boldness. We go straight to the throne where our Father is, and we declare, Father God, we thank you that we are covenanted with you. We thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We thank you, Father God, that no sickness or disease can come upon us, upon our dwellings, in our homes, on our families, or our loved ones. We go to the throne in faith. We go to the throne declaring the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We don't beg. We don't crawl up to him hoping and a wishing that he might listen to us. No, we go to a Father that is so pleased with faith that he is, you know, calling his children, come to me. Come to me now. Trust me in this. You will not fail. God can't fail. Therefore, we can't fail. Go with me to Romans. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse... We'll read from verse 19. You know, Abraham's an amazing example of faith in God. Because Abraham didn't consider his own body. He didn't consider the state that he was in when God made a promise to him that he would be the father of many nations. Read with me from Romans chapter 4 and verse 19. And be not weak in faith. He, Abraham, considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. There's a few things there that I really want to just focus on this morning. Abraham was not weak in faith. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For us to be strong in faith, then we need to spend time in His Word. Because if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, then our faith is going to grow as we hear it and act on what we hear. As we hear, we receive it, we believe it, and we act on it. That's how faith grows. Well, the Bible tells us that he was strong in faith. Abraham meditated on the words that God spoke to him. Look up into the skies and see if you can count the stars. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Many nations. He meditated on that truth.
We have to meditate on the Word of God. We have to meditate on the truths of God's Word so that the truth of the Word becomes bigger than the circumstances that surround us. That the Word is truth. By His stripes ye were healed. That's a truth. That's a truth. It's an eternal truth. Now, we walk in the fullness of that truth to the extent that we spend time in the Word of God and meditate on that Word, and our faith becomes strong to believe and walk out the truth of the Word of God. See, sickness that's in the world right now shall not come near this dwelling. Are you declaring that? Are you declaring that over your loved ones, your family, your friends? Are you declaring that over your workplace, your marketplace? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's the Word of God. We are in covenant with a God that cannot fail, that cannot lie, and that cannot change. He will never fail us. That's why Abraham was strong in faith, because he meditated the words that God spoke to him. And because he believed those words, God decreed, you're righteous. Because we said yes to Jesus, because we believed the word, we became righteous. And we are no longer of the world. Even though we're in the world, we're not of it. So sickness and disease that pervades this world doesn't have to come upon us or on our families or in our homes, because we aren't part of that system. We're in the household of God, and we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we are tightly, you know, held in the palm of His hand. You've got to believe that. The Word of God cannot fail us. And we keep reading. He considered not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, he wasn't focusing on natural things. He wasn't looking at natural circumstances. He wasn't looking at things through natural eyes. He was believing through spiritual eyes. So you can have faith in natural things, or you can have faith in spiritual. There's natural faith and there's spiritual faith. In the hour that we are living in now, we need to put our faith in an unseen God who's given us His Word and has declared that my word is yes and amen. See, Abraham didn't consider those things. And it says he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. That word staggered means he didn't withdraw or oppose, or hesitate, or doubt, or waver. He didn't draw back. He kept going forward on the word that he believed. That's what we're to do. We're to keep pressing forward based on the word that we believe, because he was strong in faith. He didn't draw back because of unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Can I say this, people? Are you fully persuaded? Are we fully persuaded that this word is truth from in the beginning to amen at the end? Are we fully persuaded that what God has decreed and declared is an absolute truth? If he said that it shall not come near us, it shall not come near us. If he's given us a promise in the Word of God that we can walk in divine health, that we can walk in prosperity, because my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If he's declared that, then we don't draw back or stagger because of unbelief, but we stay strong in faith and we give him the glory. We give God the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And I want to read from verse 5. Very familiar scripture for many of you. The King James says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. See, we're to trust the Lord with all our heart. We can't trust the Lord with our head. Don't try and understand the things of God, you know, with the mind. We need to listen on the inside. We trust him in our heart, in our recreated human spirit. When you read the Word of God, that Word, that truth is deposited in your recreated human spirit. And when that Word gets down into your spirit and it's spoken out of your mouth by faith, it's a two-edged sword. That's the Word that we want in our hearts. That's where our trust in God is. Trust him with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't make decisions based on the internet news. Don't base it on that or the opinions of men in this hour. Don't base it on, you know, all the modelling that's been talked about and the worst case scenarios of what COVID-19 may do on the earth. Don't be drawn into that. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will show you what to do. He will show you what to do. You don't need to go out into that world in fear, thinking, gee, will I catch something? You won't catch anything that's from the devil if you have faith in God. No devil can come knocking on your door and barge his way in if you don't let him in. But let me say this, and I want to repeat this important point. Fear is the doorway into you and me. Fear is a doorway. Keep him out. Shut him out. Don't let him in. Don't allow fear to rise up in you and create an open door for the enemy to bite. Now that's for us to do. God's given us his word. He's given us his great and precious promises, exceeding great and precious promises. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us the name of Jesus. He's given us the Word of God. We have everything at our disposal to keep our foot on the neck of a defeated devil. He's under our feet. He's under our feet. He's defeated. He has no authority. He was disarmed. All he can do is lie. What's occurring in the world today is because of the curse which still exists in the earth. We've been redeemed from the curse. Now we can exercise our authority over that curse. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go with me to Psalm 91. Now, I would encourage you to continually read this psalm in its entirety. I'm not going to read it all today, but I want to read some of it. Every day, I would encourage you to read this psalm, this amazing psalm of protection. Declare it over your life, over your family, over your loved ones, over your friends, over your workplace. Make this declaration of faith. This is the living word of God, and it's for us to take by faith. Now it says in the beginning of Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he has delivered me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. Now look at verse 5. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Declare that. Father, I thank you this morning, no plague shall come near my dwelling. Father, I thank you that no pestilence shall enter this place. No devil in hell can breach the covenant of protection I have with you, Father. And I thank you for that. And I walk in divine protection. I walk in divine health. And I walk in victory because of faith in God, in Jesus' name. Declare it. Say it. Speak it out in Jesus' name. Don't be moved by what's surrounding you. No pestilence is going to come near you. No plague is going to come near your dwelling. Hallelujah. We can declare that. Why? Because we are God's children. We are of the household of faith. We have been called with a heavenly calling. We are saints. We are priests and kings under God. We have every right to make that declaration of faith in Jesus' name. Psalm 91. It's a powerful psalm. And of course, if you read on, and I'd encourage you to do that, he's given us his angels. We have angels, ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. You have your angels out there. They're encamped around you. They are protective angels. They will do what you say. So speak faith. Allow those angels to minister to you and your home. The blood of Jesus covers us and protects us. We thank God for that. This is the way of faith. This is how we respond as a body of believers during this time. And we will continue to respond this way because the victory is always in faith. It's always in faith. And we give God glory and honor for that. And of course, I want to close this morning with Isaiah 54. Go with me to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, and I want to read some verses of scripture from this book. Isaiah 54. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It says this in verse 14 of Isaiah 54. In righteousness shall you be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Now that's a promise of God. Make it your promise this morning. Make it your promise all the days of your life. There is terror out there. There is fear out there. There is dread out there. But it doesn't have to be in our lives, in our homes, in our dwellings, in our bodies. We are not of the world. We're not of the world. We thank the Lord that we are in him and he's in us. God said, I'll be in them. I will walk with them. I will talk with them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Everywhere I walk, he walks. Everywhere I go, he goes. Why would I fear what's in the world when I have the God of creation on the inside of me, walking with me and talking with me, guiding me and leading me and protecting me? We don't ever have to fear. Why? Because we're giving consideration to Jesus. Jesus, Lord of all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And of course, verse 17 of Isaiah 54. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Wow. You know that word, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That word prosper means to push forward or break out. It'll never come against us. I want to close with these thoughts. Don't be moved by world events. Don't worry, but trust God. He dwells within, and we cannot be defeated. What's our response to what's going on in the world today? Stay in prayer. Stay in communion. Speak in tongues. Speak in a heavenly language. Pray for the world, for all men, according to 1 Timothy 2, and for the leaders of this nation. Pray that they would have wisdom and understanding in this hour. Pray for your brothers and sisters in the Lord, that when they've done all to stand, that they would stand firm in Jesus. And finally, consider Jesus the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen.